You. We have heard the message Shalom. Amen. Amen. How many of you have heard the message Shalom? Hallelujah. Amen. It's the rising of the sun. Amen. And when the sun rises, it brings the message of peace. Amen. Of a new life. Amen. So we are happy to be alive today, both spiritually and physically. We are happy to be walking in the light of the sunshine of the evening time. Amen. And we praise the Lord for his kindness, his goodness towards us, seeing all the week, all the things we went through, all our coming ins and going outs. Amen. It's not just a habit, you know, it's a real blessing. So that's why I remember when I was in the army, there was a commander who wanted the maintenance team has finished repairing an airplane, a jet, let's say. So they called him to come and check if everything was fine. He told someone who was waiting for him in the office, wait for me, I'm coming. We are going to have a test flight and then come back. They went, they boarded the plane, he never came back. Amen. That man was waiting for him in the office for 10 minutes, maybe he would come back, but he never came back because the plane crashed. Amen. Mm-hmm. So if we go out and come back, it's just a grace of God. Amen. Let's praise him for his kindness towards us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for giving us this lovely sunshine outside, O Lord. We thank you for the good weather. We believe, O Lord, it will give us good dispositions so that we can be ready to take your word and listen and take it, apply it in our lives, O Lord. Bless your servants who are ministering as we stand now upstairs, O Lord, to feed your the small children, the youth, O Lord. Undertake for us. Take control of the whole service from beginning to the end. We are a needy people. We came, O Lord, as with our needs, with our desires, expecting, O Lord, that you are the one that provides everything for us, O Lord. Heal our sicknesses, Heavenly Father. Give us peace in our hearts, O Lord. If there is anything that's bothering any one of your children here, O Lord, we rebuke it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and we proclaim Shalom on our hearts, O Lord. Take control now as we commit this service into your hands in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's read 1 Timothy 5, 17 to 20. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. 18, for the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. 19, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin, rebuke before all. that others also may fear. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I think this is the next last lesson before we close this topic. I think it has been a long time we have been talking about the church. We saw both spiritually and physically how these principles apply. That the true church is the spiritual one, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which we must all belong. Because if we don't belong to that church, our belonging to this physical body doesn't mean anything. But if we want our belonging to this body to have a sense, to make sense, we have first to be part of that spiritual body, which is the new birth, which comes through the revealed word of the hour, which comes through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we spoke long about all those principles of how to get into the body, how to come out of the world and be baptized in the body. We spoke about the principles of the local church. When you are sure that you belong to the body, now you can play a constructive portion, a constructive part in the local body. We saw how the local body functions, the offices and everything. So last time we were talking about the pastor in the church, what consideration we should put in electing the pastor. Because as I was saying, these things I'm not bringing them because there's a problem in the church. But we should be prepared. Because as we said, when God gives you an authority without character is void, is nothing. You need to know what your authority, how to apply it. Because if you don't know how to apply your authority, you'll make many mistakes. Amen. That's why you see a king that has not a character of a king, will kill the whole country. Because he has a lot of power in him, but he doesn't know how to use that power. It will bring just the death. Amen. So, as a church, we have the authority. You are sovereign to elect the pastor, to appoint the pastor, and to sack the pastor. But you have to use wisdom to use that power. Because if you have no wisdom, you'll come one day and say, since the pastor is talking about our high heels and we love our high heels, we are sovereign, we have to sack him. Of course, you will do it. And God will honor you for doing that because you are sovereign. But you didn't use it correctly. God will punish you for that. You will pay for that. So that's why you need to know the principles. A pastor, we said, must have someone, because the pastor is your spiritual leader. He's the one who will introduce you into the kingdom. He must be himself citizen of the kingdom. So if he's not born again himself, how can he bring you into new birth? For Joshua to take the children of Israel in the land, he must have been in the land himself before. That's why the prophet says, no one has the right to stand here at the pulpit if he has not met God personally in those sacred sand of the desert. He has to have been in that experience of meeting God personally. He knows what he's talking about. Only then he can lead you into the country. But if you come, you say, we are sovereign, and since the majority of the people in the church are from Malaysia, though there are not many. Okay, so that brother is from our country, let's appoint him pastor. That's good. It's the majority. The minority will have to submit. But the consideration was not good to begin with. And God will make you pay for that. So we are seeing that last week. I think we need to just see a small topic today. And next time, I think we're gonna finish it. It's about, you know, the devil knows how to attack the local body. Because he knows that if you are in peace, everything is fine, you are on your way to heaven. But he will have to find a way to bring trouble in the church. He'll try to find a way to bring something so that you cannot be in trouble, will be unstable, and then you will lose focus on your eternal, your salvation. So the easiest way for him to disturb the work of the church is to attack the pulpit. Mm-hmm. Amen? Is to attack the pulpit, is to attack the pastor, is to attack the ministry. God, knowing that, he put some, you know, he put some, how do you call them? Barriers. He put some walls, fences around the ministry so that it can't be attacked so easily. Amen? Because the devil knows that if I just bring an accusation against the pastor in that church, the people will lose confidence, trust in him, and then I can work properly and destroy the church. Someone may just arise with an idea, say, okay, I'll just go and say the pastor stole my car. You know, I saw the pastor stealing in TK Maxx, he was whatever. And he brings it up. That's why the Lord, knowing that, the devil can just bring up some accusation just out of nowhere, he puts some barriers. So you can't bring an accusation against an elder just lightly like that. It should be something that has to be tried first. It must be established. That's why he puts all these things, these principles, to protect the ministry. Because, as we said, if you have made everything correctly, you have chosen your pastor, your deacons, your trustees, people filled with the Holy Spirit, right and honest men, you trust them. So to begin with, those people, they are God-fearing people. Amen? So there is that principle of repentance in them. If they do something wrong, since they are God-fearing people, they will repair it themselves to begin with. That's why God put these barriers, that you can't just bring up an accusation like that and the church believes it and you put someone, you sack someone or you put them in the corner. It needs to be something. Listen to what the prophet says. We believe in church government. And this is Law Having a Shadow, 1954. We believe in church government, and the government it is ordered of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. The pastor is always the head of the church, we said it. That's God's elder in organizations. You have to come through the bishop. There's no higher order in the Bible than the elder of the church. Just tell me where it's at. There's no higher order in the Bible for the church than the elder, which is the pastor. He's the highest order of the Bible. Now listen. Don't receive any accusation against your elder unless it is first be by two or three witnesses. Amen. Don't receive an accusation against your elder unless it is established by two or three witnesses. God knows why he put this principle here. Because if it was only open that anyone can bring an accusation, you know, it just exposes the ministry in the church. It just exposes the ministry. It will kill the church, because if I had an argument yesterday with the pastor, I asked him to give me so and so he didn't want, the next day I'll come and bring an accusation. And the church will accept it and will sack the pastor, put another pastor. The day I asked him for 2,000 euro he doesn't give me, I bring another accusation, you know. So that's why God put all this barrier, this fence to protect the ministry. They are God-fearing people. If they do something wrong, they will fix it. We don't mean that it will always be so. That's why God says there should be two or three witnesses. And the prophet says there must be independent witnesses. It doesn't mean that me and my two buddies, we said, okay, let's bring an accusation. You know, we'll say this, this, this. When I say this, this, you say this. Yeah? And then you say, the other day in Carlo, he did this, and then, okay, okay. That's why the prophet says, no matter what anybody says about an elder, no matter what anybody says about an elder, don't you believe it until you have two or three witnesses. Amen. And them witnesses must be first tried. Amen. They must be tried. We need to try them to see, are they connected, these people? What they are bringing up? Is it something? You need really to follow, to investigate the matter properly. They may be right. We don't say they are not. They will always be wrong. They may be right, but seeing that the devil can use it to kill the ministry in the church, it's a very good principle God has put there, just to protect the local church. So investigate the matter. Bring them. They need. I don't remember the quote, the pastor will correct me if I'm wrong, but the prophet says they need even to swear. They need to establish that they are really saying it, what they are saying is true, beyond any doubt. Amen. As you know, before even bringing it to the church, before even bringing an accusation, there is a process that he has to go through. Because, you know, though I may be a pastor, amen, I may be a minister, but I am a believer first to begin with. Amen. I am your brother to begin with. Amen. You may call me whatever qualification, whatever title you can give me, but to begin with, I am your brother. Amen. The Bible says, if your brother did something wrong against you, go and meet him first. Amen. Amen. Go and talk to your brother. If your pastor did something wrong, go and meet him. Pastor, I saw you did this, this, this. Brother, so and so, I saw you did this, this, that. If it can be fixed between you and him, you have solved the problem. Amen. Amen. You don't need to bring it to make an issue out of something that can be fixed easily between you and your brother. Amen. And remember, there's another principle in the Bible. The principle of, I think, Romans 11:29. I'm going to read it. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Amen. The man has a gift in him, no matter what he has done. You know, there's many, I've seen many things in churches that the pastor did something wrong, they sacked the pastor, and the people believe by sacking the pastor or removing the pastor from his position, they've removed the ministry from the pastor. No, the ministry is there. It's the gift from God. It's not your election, your vote, making him a pastor that gives him the ministry. The pastor, you appoint him for a position, for a role in the church, but it doesn't confer him the ministry. The ministry is from God and the gift is God. So even if today you say, we don't want you to be our pastor anymore, the church next door can say, come and become our pastor. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's the way it works. Because the ministry is there, is the gift from God. And the gift is without repentance. Amen. No matter, the prophet says, no matter what he has done, it doesn't take away the gift from him. The gift is there, and he will answer for that gift between him and God. So if you find there is something wrong, just go and talk to your brother. Remember, he is your pastor. You have appointed him as a pastor. He is a minister. He is doing fulfilling a certain role in the church, but he is your brother to begin with. Go and talk to him. If you believe that that matter cannot be solved between you and him, then there is a procedure. There's a way you can do it. Listen, the prophet says. And let them witnesses be tried first. And then if that elder has done something wrong, and these three Holy Ghost, listen what he said. It must be Holy Ghost witnesses, has been tried and proved that they've really done something to the elder, then go to the elder that and that sin openly rebuke. See that others must see and take heed. So if something has really been done, the pastor or the, let me not just personalize it to the pastor, but the minister or whatever, he has done something wrong, the elder has done something wrong, let's establish that it has been done. Let's prove by the Holy Ghost. Let's try the people that bring a testimony. This principle is clear. Even if that elder has done something wrong, but I was alone that saw it, it doesn't establish the case. Amen? Amen. He may have done something really wrong. You have seen him somewhere, or whatever you have seen. You can even swear, I saw him doing this and that. I saw him drinking beer. But since you were the only one who saw it, I'm sorry, my sister, we can't take it. I'm sorry. You can say, no, you are supporting your because you are friends. Or no matter what you can say, if you were alone, we won't take it. We believe that our elder is a man of God. We believe that if he did something wrong, he will repent. Amen. So if you are bringing that accusation and there is no one that can prove that what you are saying is true, we are sorry, we won't take it. Amen. You know, sometimes there is misunderstanding. I remember one time, I gave an example here. There was my friend who was thirsty. So he was passing by a bistro. You know, and he saw one of his friends in the, he was a barman. So he greeted him. Why don't you come here to greet me? So he went to greet his friend in the bistro. And he was thirsty and was asking for something to drink. And that his friend told him, we are not allowed to give glasses to visitors. I can just give you water from a bottle. And that bottle was a beer bottle. Amen. But there was water in the beer. The friend said, okay, I'm thirsty, I have to drink. He drank. So if you see, you say, oh, I see the pastor in a bistro drinking beer. Amen. Amen. It may just be a misunderstanding. Amen. Amen. It may just be something that you misunderstood. That's why you have to approach your brother first. Go and ask him, Pastor, I saw him that day drinking beer. Pastor, I saw him with my eyes. I saw you, Pastor. The pastor will tell you, no, it was not beer. It was water in a beer bottle. Is it a sin? I don't know. Amen. So that's why you need to be extra careful in these things. You may see a situation by your own judgment saying, no, from what I saw, it must be a sin. But just approach your brother. Amen. Approach your brother. He may give you the full picture, and then you will understand. Amen. You may see Brother Eli in Dublin City Center with a girl. You know, they are walking together. Oh, I saw them. But you saw them, what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything yet. So that's why God puts these principles there. We know the prophet says we need to be extra careful. We people that stand here. I remember once the prophet was talking about a 16-year-old girl that he was to help her in something, but he didn't want to be alone with that girl because he said, if the people see me with the girl, what will they say? though I'm not doing something wrong. You know, you as ministers, elders, and we need to be extra careful in what we are doing, because someone with some weaknesses, who is not really mature in faith, can take it, and maybe he won't speak, but he'll be get an offense. So it's a two-way, it's a two-side thing we need to be extra careful on. Amen. So it's very important that we hold this principle. I just want to finish with one other point. The prophet put it when it comes to a grievance or an accusation against a deacon as well. Because there he was talking about the pastor, he is talking about bringing something against the deacon. Listen what it says into Hebrews chapter 7, part 2. And if any person then has a complaint against a deacon, or against the deacon or somebody in the church, there also it says it takes three people. Amen. Amen. It takes three people. Three people would come and say, witness the mouth of two or three witnesses. Even against a deacon, you want to bring an accusation, it takes three people. Because God knows that if he doesn't protect the ministry, as we said, the devil can easily break the church. That's why we are sorry if you saw it and you were alone, go and find the brother and fix it with him. But if you can bring a second testimony that testifies the same thing, then we can start consider it. It doesn't establish it yet. We have to prove. We have to try the brethren. The prophet says, Holy Ghost witnesses. So we have to believe that those witnesses have been, you know, moved by the Holy Ghost to bring that accusation. Because their motive is not to destroy, but their motive is to build. They saw something wrong. They saw something that's not working correctly. The Holy Ghost moved them to come and correct the thing. That's why they have to be tried. And if we establish really that the thing was so, the prophet said, two or three witnesses, come tell the pastor that there's a grievance against a deacon. Then if there is a grievance against a deacon, the deacon is just a man, perfect man. He must hold the, okay. The prophet said, that deacon is asked to stay home over the night. So if it's established that there's a, the grievance is really there, the accusation is right, correct. The deacon is asked to stay home overnight. And then the pastor comes and brings the congregation together and gives the grievance. And if the congregation votes for the deacon to continue on, the deacon continues on. Amen. Amen. So your accusation is not a sentence in its own. They'll bring the problem here against the elder. Our elder, this, and that. And the church says, though he did that, we forgive him. Amen. If the church says we forgive him, Amen. He is forgiven. Amen. And he stays in the position. Amen. Amen. He says, and if the congregation votes for the deacon to continue on, the deacon continues on. If they vote for the deacon to be dismissed, they elect a new deacon that very night. Amen. So if you decide, the church decides that we are dismissing him, he'll be dismissed. So it's the sovereignty, once again, the sovereignty of the church. So that's why we wanted to bring these things, this one principle. It's very important to keep the stability of the church. You have the power, but if you don't know how to, power without character is demonic. Amen. If you don't have the character, and character is brought by knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge of your attributions, you'll use wrongly your power and you'll bring destruction. That's why we have been talking about these principles of the church. Amen. I think next time we're going to bring one last topic. And then we'll close this topic. I think it has been a long time we have been speaking about it. And we believe that God has done something in the building of this local body. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us these principles, O Lord. There are no new things that we have brought, but as mortal beings, we need to be reminded of these things from time to time so that we can stand still, we can stand firm the day of the temptation, O Lord. Bless this local body. We want it prosper, O Lord. We want it, O Lord, to be the light that will be showing the way to this dying world in this town of Dublin, in this country, O Lord. Bless the ministry, bless the deacons, bless the trustees, bless the Sunday school teachers, bless everybody, bless all the believers, O Lord, from the smallest to the eldest, O Lord. Let your grace be upon us and let this work grow to expand, O Lord, to spread across all this country, O Lord. Let the beams from this body, from this local body, enlighten the whole country. And let other bodies arise from around the country, O Lord. And let your word be published in this island we are living in, O Lord. We commit the remainder of the service into your hand. Take control, take the leadership as we commit ourselves into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.